From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. On the 2010 census, more Americans marked at least two boxes for race than ever before. Now, the country may not be increasingly multiracial, but it certainly is increasingly conscious of its multiracial identity. The ultimate example of this, of course, is President Barack Obama. In northeastern North Carolina, there is a community that is historically mixed race. Land-owning free people of color have lived there in the Winton Triangle for 260 years. Their ancestors include mixed-race people who moved there from the Chesapeake Bay area, as well as Choanoke, Meherrin, and Tuscarora Indians, Africans, and East Indians. As part of our series, North Carolina Voices, The Civil War, we're going to explore the Winton Triangle, and Marvin Jones is a photographer and executive director of the Chowan Discovery Group. Marvin, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here. Happy to be here from Hertford County.
Tell us about the Winton Triangle. Where is it?
It is in the central part of Hertford County. The triangle comes from the names Winton, Colefield, and Ahoskie. We've been known for a long time as those light-skinned folks from Ahoskie, but that does not address our land ownership. It does not address that Winton is really the historic town for our area. Ahoskie really wasn't much of anything until the train came through in the 1880s, 1890s. But an example of us, by the time of the Civil War in 1861, our community was already 100 years old. You would think of a community of free people at that time. Many would have a white father and a mother of color. We had a lot of people whose grandparents were married, whose families were long established, especially if you lived in the heart of that landowning mass. And it eventually extended to 10 miles wide from the Pottawatomie Creek to the Chincomping Creek in Hertford County, and made up of several smaller communities.
Well, did mixed-race people move there, or did people move there and mix?
The Chowan, the Chesapeake Bay was a great mixing bowl. The Melungeons and Appalachians can trace their ancestors from people who came through the Chesapeake Bay. Of course, you had people from the British Isles. You even had Iberian people, Mediterranean people, people from even North Africa coming through. Of course, people from the West African coast coming through, all kinds of people coming through the Chesapeake Bay. You also had a lot of indentured women from the British Isles, white women, who had children with men of color. And men of color can be from Africa, from North Africa, from the Mediterranean, from the Algonquin Empire that Pocahontas' father had. So they were mixing in the Chesapeake Bay. Virginia was becoming harsher towards people of color, and some of them moved to North Carolina to buy land, and it was cheaper. Land was cheaper.
And why this particular area in North Carolina, do you think?
Well, sometimes in places that centers of gravity form, you had Thomas Archer, who comes around 1740, and he's able to acquire land along the Chincomping Creek. Then he's followed by William Weaver, who could have been his nephew, could have been a son. And from William Weaver, so many of us are descended from him. And William Weaver's father was from India, incredibly enough.
So tell us now about the Robbins family.
The Robbinses, and I'm a Robbins descendant, the Robbinses came out of the Choanoke people who were local. The Choanokes are the original inhabitants, were the original inhabitants of Hertford County. The Chowan River is named after the Choanoke people. And the Robbins, and they, the second Roanoke Island expedition met them, encountered them, explored, you could say explored them. And they declined because of unintended European diseases. They declined because of Tuscarora pressure. So they had to give up the Chowan River. They moved into Gates County, and they were reduced even further by 1750 to a handful of people, maybe even 20 people, mostly the Robbinses and the Bennetts. The Bennetts eventually dispersed, but some of the Robinses remained. Even more left after the Nat Turner Rebellion. The oldest document in my Robbins family, or any of my families, is one that was spurred by the Nat Turner Rebellion. It was created 4 days after the Rebellion. It's where Nora Robbins acquired this document certifying he was a free man of color in Gates County. When I first saw it, I said, what's this? He's a Choanoke. He's always been free. Mm. But then I saw the date, and I said, oh, my Lord.
He needed to prove it after that rebellion.
He needed to prove it.
People were looking for
He needed to prove it. And many people of color did disperse into Ohio and Indiana after that event.
So did the men from the Winton Triangle serve in the Union's army?
Somewhere 30 to 40 served. There were 8 Robinses, 5 in North Carolina, 3 in Ohio whose families left after the rebellion. You had 9 Weavers. You had 7 Reynoldses. A lot of these people are related. You had Boones, Nickenses, Manleys. They're all related. They all knew each other. Their grandparents knew each other. Their grandparents knew each other. Most of them were in the 14th Regiment Infantry, U.S. Colored Troops. And I'm looking at pension files at the National Archives. I live in Washington, D.C. And I'm now starting to see that there was a day or two where in Winton, which had been burned by the Union Army 2 years earlier, the first town in North Carolina to be burned in the war, in Winton, in, say, July, August of 1864, you start seeing all these men from, say, 16 to 40 years old coming up from what is now Highway 13 from the Winton Triangle into Winton, and they're getting on a Union gunboat. And they're sailing away to join the army. There is nothing that the local Confederates can do about it. They know who these people are. They know who their families are. Because their town had already been burned down, they knew better than to mess with the Winton Triangle families whose men have left to fight the war. And because there would be more retribution.
Right, right. So they probably had always wanted to do this, but it wasn't safe enough.
It wasn't safe enough. But that was a day where they did it. I'm envisioning a day in large numbers.
Well, I'm wondering what happened to the Winton Triangle then after the war.
Oh, we took off. We were multi-skilled and literate before the war. You know, I've come across letters written by Parker Robbins, Augustus Robbins, by William David Newsom, by Simon Collins, by a lot of these veterans, by a lot of these leaders, and they took the new freedom. They weren't slaves, but they still were. They still couldn't have businesses, schools, or churches. They took those new freedoms, and that's what they created, businesses, schools, churches. They ran for political office. They expanded their families. They expanded their land ownership. James Walden bought the farm next to my farm, the farm I woke up on this morning that I inherited from my Robbins ancestor who bought it after the war. I mean, the community took off. We created our first high school in 1886. It was the only high school for counties around. Most high schools in North Carolina at that time for people of color were created by missionaries, by people that came out of the abolitionist tradition. We created our own in conjunction with Shaw University, and it was a successful high school, and it still is a high school today.
Did the area
125 years later?
Did the area suffer in the post-Reconstruction and Jim Crow periods?
I don't have many stories of that. For one thing, the powers that be in in Hertford County, have always, I think, been milder than elsewhere. For example, Hertford County had 2 women's colleges in the 1840s. Now, that's a little unusual. I mean, that was a new concept, okay? Women's colleges were a new concept, and I don't want my fellow Southerners to beat up on me, but new concepts don't come to the rural South that especially back then, that
right.
quickly.
1840s, you're
and
saying,
so for Hertford County to have two, a Methodist and a Baptist, says something about the powers that be already. They had been working with the Winton Triangle leaders for years. I mean, whenever they needed additional labor, we supplied it. We had been building their houses. We had been making their barrels, their ropes, their shoes, their bricks. We had been doing everything for them in trade and whatever. And in some cases, we were related to them. However, some of these families are quite old, and a lot of Winton Triangle people cannot trace themselves to whites because they go back that far.
So what's going on there today?
Like most rural areas, it has declined. The land ownership is dwindling. The talent moves away. We have very few businesses. It doesn't have a great future because the future always seems to be in the cities. And it's not just in the rural, you know, it's rural area everywhere. It's in the world. It's in Africa. It's in Asia. It's in Nebraska.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Marvin, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Marvin Jones is a photographer and executive director of the Chewan Discovery Group. For more information about his work, you can go to chewandiscovery.org. Next up, a novel set in Mississippi that reunites old friends to solve a crime. Coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.